수저 더러 페이 아롱 헤이 마이 잡은 금 수저 여러 페이 버러 페이 잠옷 익은 것들 새끼 여러 개 거두펄 씹어줄게 싹 페이 저녁을
Kick in the door Wave in the cold cold 코니는 챙겨 까들 생각 말고 I talk the talk Runways I walk walk 눈 감고 pop 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 on the track
마이크 던진 black black 던진 난 알 것 같았겠지만 I'm fine sorry 미안해 billboard 미안해 worldwide 아들이 넘 잘 나가서 미안해 엄마
By one and two by two 내 손끝 툭 하나에 다 무너지는 중 갑자 쇼 지금 화려했지
Hello and welcome to Grown Ass Fandom. This is Shanae and this is the Blackpink episode. Last Sunday, I went to go see my beloved Blackpink. As you know, Blackpink, GOT7, and BTS are my old groups. And so I'm here to talk about Blackpink as a whole. Talk about my concert experience and everything along those lines. So if you're on my Substack, you've heard my rant about like the way that Blackpink gets approached and how people talk about them and stuff, which I think is rich text in itself. The last one of the other free podcasts I did was diving into sort of like how as a collective, we're not very accepting of women in fandom in general, I would say. And as a community, we just give women a harder time. We're definitely more judgmental and more like hardcore about the way that we approach them. I have an essay that I'm working on that I'll hopefully be done with before the end of the year that's called Hot Girl Rage. And it talks about like how it's not just Blackpink either, right? I think it gets centered on Blackpink because Blackpink is so popular. But at the end of the day, the type of like critique and analysis that women are like subject to as K-pop artists are nothing like the way that men get talked about. And I think that is just like my primary issue with it. I think that people are free to critique Blackpink and unpack them and talk about what they're doing and stuff like that. But the energy is just not felt. And I think that to say that men genuinely don't make mistakes, let's kind of like break down a lot of the like things that people say about Blackpink and compare them to what would be like things that would happen with men that we don't talk about. So the repetitiveness, listen, I'm not even gonna, you know that there's a lot of boy groups who release the same song over and over and over again. You never ever hear a peep about repetitiveness. You never hear, there's a bunch of male artists. NCT is a group that comes to mind that has a very signature style, a very clear structure to the way that their songs are produced and made, a very distinct sound. And you never hear for like calls for cutting off the heads of the people who like produce those songs. Sticker and some of these other like really like weird, interesting songs, people unpack them in a way that's, it's like more fun and lighthearted than a lot of what happens with Blackpink, which is sort of like this real serious wrestling with their deservingness. And I think that in itself is wild, is the fact that the big conversation around Blackpink, the last time I checked, I haven't been on social media much, is like, do they deserve to be the top? Like, there's this thing that people say, they're like, I expected more from like the most popular group in the world, or like the most popular group in the world, and this is what I get, and da, 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 which I'm not gonna say what I wanna say. I will save that for the Substack as far as like that critique. If we're like using, even if we're using the Blackpink BTS binary as an example, we don't even like that, we don't really wanna go there. But that is just another example of how it's just the energy's not shared. And let me say this again. I have no issue with you critiquing Blackpink at all. Like, go ahead. It's just ends up feeling so unserious when that critique isn't shared. And I feel like I've said this a million times, but I feel like in order to put Blackpink in context, we have to talk about this stuff. And I do think that K-pop attracts a type of person, especially a type of woman who feels like an outsider. We always talk about like the outsider status, you know, how a lot of us have mental health issues and stuff like that. And it attracts that type of woman through K-pop, gets access to the type of beauty, companionship, community, all that stuff that they feel like is not accessible to them in their day-to-day lives, right? Like, they feel like this gives them a space to be themselves where they're safe from the kind of like expectations and the pressures of being a woman, right? So a lot of this is systematic in a way. And so K-pop becomes this sort of safe space. And I think that women sometimes feel like when you are like dragging Twice or you're dragging Blackpink, or I feel like sometimes people find their presence to be disruptive in a way of their kind of perfect utopian community where they have access and they get to enjoy these men without the pressures of what their actual beauty and their standing means for them as women or non-binary people or whatever. I feel like a lot of times women quote unquote ruin that for people. And this is just a theory, but based off of like the way people talk about, does Blackpink deserve, what do they deserve, or is this, and it's just like, what are you even talking about, right? Like that type of really like passionate idea of like whether or not they deserve what they have feels a lot in high school. Does this girl deserve this guy? Does she deserve all this attention? I feel like there's something very like primal that really touches people in that place, because like I said, K-pop is a safe space for people who don't feel like they're the norm, and you can feel like you're not the norm but still get access to this like incredible beauty. And in some ways it's beauty that you have access to that feels like it's just for you, which is, you have like your relationship with your male idols and sort of like shipping and all that, it feels like it's for you and your own little like universe. And for women, and even for like girl group fans, I do feel like having access to that beauty does feel like a license to critique it and unpack it, and you feel like you're more, there's just more space for you to feel judgmental, because again, these women are up for you for judgment. And I think that's something that is really triggering for people about Blackpink. And then you compare, even comparing Blackpink to say like Twice or some of these other groups, is that Blackpink, the way their persona is, it's not necessarily sweet. Like, they're not trying to be your girlfriends. They're not trying to endear themselves to you in any specific way. You know, the girl crush branding, they're really serious about it. It's like, I am your girl crush. It's aspirational. It's badass. They're not like, I think one of the things about Twice that makes them more approachable to people is because they are trying to be cute. They're trying to be more accessible. I think, to be frank, some of the infantilization that happened to them early in their career also endears them to people more. But I think Blackpink kind of came out the box with this type of energy that I do feels like it's counter to this whole everyone is here together and we're like this happy like friend group and we're all weird and whatever, and that's not who Blackpink is. And so I do think that kind of contributes to this feeling of wanting to bring them down a peg. And again, like, why there feels like there's so much space for that while they're not any space to do that for anybody else. I just think that's like a theory that I've been playing around with, is that I just think that there's something left like cathartic about talking shit about Blackpink for people. I really do. I think that having these women that are presented to you as perfection and kind of badass, and that they don't need you and they're not trying to kind of feed too much into the kind of like K-pop model, feels like it's something that you have to unpack and untangle and break down. And I just, I mean, for me, I don't understand it. I think that also the thing about Blackpink is that they're really positioned like, you know, our relationship with them feels way more Western. Like you said, like it's more like they are celebrities and we're consuming celebrities. And I think that comes to focus when you think about the fact that I feel like the thing that always gets me, right, is that like everybody says this stuff, but Blackpink is still extremely popular. They still broke all sorts of records. They still sold out all these shows. Everybody complains about the prices of these shows, but everybody paid for them. And I think the other part of it is that a lot of like Blackpink fans, which is ironic because I feel like this is the same with BTS, but I feel like, oh my gosh, it's just like so much to unpack with there. But there's not a lot of like, I feel like a lot of Blackpink fans are Blackpink fans, but they're not K-pop fans. So they're not even like this online conversation that's happening within the K-pop community and K-pop fans and like the glee in which people like, it's so bad. Like I remember there's this editor who is on YouTube and he's like, is this Blackpink's worst editing ever? He would never in his life ever think to say something like that about BTS. He'd be dead. And why is that? And it's like, is every BTS music video perfect? Is every BTS, everything that Stray Kids and everybody else, 17, is it just like these amazing work of art? It just can't be, right? We can't actually believe that. It's just that there is more space to critique Blackpink. It's just everybody feels like they have like this pass to talk shit about them in a lot of different ways. But I think the actual audience and the people who love Blackpink are people who are not as chronically online. I think they have a really international fan base. I think that because of the way they're positioned on Instagram and everything like that, like they're outside of the K-pop system. Even the way that they release their music, like people use the fact that they've been gone for two years against them, when 2 years is like a very typical cycle for a Western artist. And it's also a more sustainable model. When we think about, again, if we're using the BTS model comparison and we talk about, they're talking about like their crazy burnout and stuff like that, it's because of the endless churn of music. And so it seems to me that what they're doing is more sustainable in a way. And again, framing everything in the most negative life and without light, without any sort of like graciousness towards them, is the big kind of thing. Because when BTS makes mistakes or Stray Kids or like everybody makes mistakes, it's like, oh, they're tired. Oh, it's a joke. It's so funny. But when these little, because I've seen these clips, right? Like these clips of these little mistakes from these concerts, and they're just like these tiny moments that are not even that big. And I just was kept waiting for like this big overall awfulness that everybody talked about. And I just never saw the clips, because I will say that when it comes time for me to talk about my experience with the concert, I do not have enough good things to say about it. And I know that probably people are going to think that that's me being biased, but I think that, and it might be that they have picked up and gotten better as they've gone along, but the LA show I went to was phenomenal. It was incredible. And I'll talk about it more in a little bit, but yeah, I guess it's just starting by talking about sort of like the freedom people feel to trash Blackpink. And again, I don't think that they, if they feel these ways, whatever, but I do think that there is just like a comfort that doesn't exist with other artists, and there's a glee. And I think it's just, again, it's like, it's hot girl revenge. Like, I think people really don't like that they're not playing the typical K-pop system game, and that they're not trying to, they're really reaching for a more aspirational type of branding. And I think that if you're somebody who came to K-pop because you wanted this sort of like ooey gooey sweet feeling of being a part of this community where you're not having to be burdened with your attractiveness in comparison to other people, or feeling like you're not hot enough or you're whatever, I think that even with the BTS members, like anytime they're near a beautiful woman, it really sets people off in this really interesting way, because it reminds them of what this is, like what it really is in desirability politics. And I think especially the Jennie Tae rumor is like, again, like it just really contends with this idea and unpacks this idea that this is a fantasy and you can't have hot girls in your fantasy because then what does that mean about you? And I really think that that's a big part of it because they're, and also you get the same thing with like aespa and like all these other groups. Like I feel like it's not just a Blackpink thing. I think that everybody gets analyzed in such a way, like I said, there isn't even an industry to analyze boy groups. Like all the major YouTubers who talk about music and talk about K-pop, they only cover girl groups. And part of that is because girl groups are the only ones that are doing anything interesting, so there's that. But also because I think that they know that the moment you cover a guy, it's like game over. You know what I mean? So again, I talked about this a lot with Twice already, but I just think with Blackpink, it's even worse. It's just way worse. Because I think that like with Twice, they have this kind of likability built in and like this sort of like they're marketed in a different way. But I think, and I love Blackpink and I think they're super likable and stuff like that. But I also don't have those same hangups over women anymore. I did when I was younger, but I find them to be really empowering and I find them to be fun and human, and I'm going to give them the same grace that I give anybody else, and or I'm going to unpack them the way that I do anybody else. I think one of the things people say is that like I don't critique Blackpink as hard as I critique BTS, and again I always am like, what exactly have I said about BTS? That's such a big critique. Like, don't talk about your fucking meals and like that you like don't do that. That's pretty much it. And that I don't like certain songs. I will do the same thing for Blackpink. But I just think that so those are some of my things about that. So in this podcast, even though we've gone for quite a bit now, I'm going to talk about my concert experience. I'm going to talk about the album because I haven't talked about the album yet. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the album and then we're going to go into the concert experience. So let's start with the album first. I love the album. I think this again is proof that like, you know, that Blackpink is like Star Wars. Nobody's ever going to be happy because again, like I think that, like I said before, people are like working under conditions that they don't even understanding that they're working under. But let me open Born Pink. Whatever. It's like, you can tell how like annoyed I am with everybody. Like I'm better now. When it was first happening, I was so, it like single-handedly pulled me offline because I was just like, fuck this shit. Like I'm tired of hearing it. And even from like people who say that they're blanks being like, how the fuck are you going to say that Blackpink doesn't deserve what they get or they don't deserve? Like how, like what does that even mean? If people are buying the albums and people are showing up for the concert and they like the music, and those are the numbers they're pulling, that's it. Like, what makes you more deserving or less deserving of something? Seriously, like, again, don't make me say what I want to say out loud. Don't get me in trouble. But you know what I'm thinking. Like, come on, be real. Okay, so track list, Pink Venom. Pink Venom is that bitch. Also, my number one played song. Wait, no. Alien Superstar is my first number one played song this year. Then it's Pink Venom. I love Pink Venom. I listen to it a bazillion times a day. I think it's the best song. I think it's so great. I don't know what people are talking about. I've listened to it so many times trying to hear why people don't like it, and I truly don't understand. I don't understand, and I just want somebody to explain it to me. What is it about the song? Like, I don't understand why you wouldn't like the song. It's such a banger. Whatever. But that's fine. Again, people cannot like it. I love that song. And I also love Shutdown. Shutdown took me a while to warm up to because it was so different. It was so unique. And it's not like any other sound we've ever heard before. And again, this is exactly what people wanted. They're like, we want a different sound. And they get a different sound. It's like, but not that. And it's like, what the fuck do you want exactly? I love Shutdown. Type of Girl is also a banger. This first half is just like, I don't know. I just really like it. I feel like especially the songs are even better live. So like I love them on the album, but like live they really float up and are so good. Type of Girl is just like a pure banger. Like I think, and okay, let me say this. People are 100% correct about there being more that YG could do to promote Blackpink. 100% correct. Like there is, it is a shame that they are not taking advantage of this amazing asset they have more by like promoting them more and doing more. And it sucks that they are at the victim of a shitty system that doesn't fully realize their potential as artists and like what they can do. Because Type of Girl, I feel like Type of Girl is a song that I feel like could have really charted on Billboard if it was like promoted well. I also think that Tally is like such a fun like Gen Z song that I could see, especially live. It's really good. But yes, so Type of Girl I feel like could have charted if they would have like really thought about it. Yeah, Yeah, Yeah is like such a beautiful lovesick like rom-com-esque song. And it's, and I think that honestly, like I said, like these songs, I've liked them more, especially after I saw them live. So Happiest Girl is probably the only song that's like just not for me, because it's just not for me. That is like not my style of song. It's too kind of like sappy and it's just not my thing. But I think Hard to Love by Rosé is really good. It's excellent live. Tally, I wasn't that crazy about Tally, but then when I saw it live, I'm like obsessed with it now. Because what they do with it is that they kind of slow it down and they sing with the audience and a group. It's a really good song, and that's why I think that also Tally could have been a good like song. And I feel like a couple of these songs could have really got like went off on TikTok too if they would have like done more. So that part I 100% agree with. So I will say that. So my favorite song on the album, is it Pink Venom? It's probably Shut Down. I don't know. I can't decide. I think my top three are Pink Venom, Shut Down, and Type of Girl. Those are the songs I feel like I listen to the most. What are your favorite songs if you like them? I think the album is great. I think it did exactly what people said that they wanted, which is like give different type of songs and give different vibes and stuff, which is what people keep begging for. But of course it wasn't enough. It's never enough. Just say you don't like Blackpink and no, like I said, people can dislike Blackpink. I'm talking about the energy and how we talk as a collective about them. Oh, you can get a hoodie. I really want the Shutdown logo tee. So yes, so that's the album Born Pink. I really like it. I like it better than the last album, for sure. For sure. I just love Pink Venom. I can't believe people dislike Pink Venom. It's so good. And it was like for weeks, people were like, it's the worst song ever. And I'm like, why? How? When? Where? I just don't get it. But to each their own. Okay, so let's talk about the concert itself. Like I said, I enjoyed the concert so much. Like, more than I expected to, because I was fully prepared to be really honest and be like, you know what, this wasn't it, or you know, I see what they were talking about, I saw the energy drops, I saw this, whatever. And I really watched it, and I was with my friend Sasha, and we were both like really hardcore critics. We're very, you know, I was ready to see what people were talking about, and I just didn't see it. And again, I don't know why, right? It could 100% be because it was LA shows, and I feel like there is something poetic about LA being the show that they do the best in. It could be that they got better as they went along. And it could be that the LA crowd was just really hype, because again, like I said, I feel like, I don't know, like there was something about the concert that felt like, yeah, girls, you're safe here, you're safe with us, we get it, like we get you, we get it. You know what I mean? Like there's like this vibe to the crowd that felt like that. And maybe it's because, you know, it's LA and we understand what they're doing, and like, I don't know. There's just something about it that felt just very magical. Again, if you have not gone to a concert where people are screaming for women and you're screaming for women, I highly suggest it. It's good for your skin. It's good for your body. It's good for everything. The, like, I don't even know where to start. The set list was incredible. Like, the set list was so, because there's not many songs, it's just bangers. Like, there's just banger after banger after banger after banger. The band, so Blackpink has the best band, I think, in the K-pop industry. Like, they, as a band, I don't know if this is a YG thing or what, but, like, the musicality, the remixes, the way that, like, the show itself was so them. It was so to their personality, and it was a party. Like, in between the different songs, there would be these amazing remixes that were like these club remixes of the songs. They would have the dancers dance in between. They would have the bands do all this stuff. And it just was like such a great show. And I think the thing, I guess I was very paying attention to the performances because that's what people were really talking to. And you know what? The thing that I noticed, and I'm just going to say this, and I'm burying this deep into the episode so that people who are going to get mad at it will get mad at it. The thing about Blackpink is that when they're singing those songs, especially like they're like singing them. I think one of the things that like comes up in K-pop a lot is that people are just really going through the motions of the songs. They're just performing them because that's a part of it. It's just like because you're there to see certain dance moves. You're here to see them do the moves. You're not necessarily there to see them perform. But Blackpink performs, like their mics were on, and there's parts of these songs where they're really saying them, especially Jennie. There's parts of different songs where Jennie was like really adding this level of personality and meaning and connection to the songs that you don't really see in K-pop that often. And even like hyping each other up and being like, let's go, and all that stuff. Like you see in BTS sometimes, but you don't really see it with the girl groups. But that was there. And they just have this like this swagger and this energy. All of them do on stage. I was like genuinely surprised by, because I had heard all these things about them beforehand. But like the energy, like they had such like, again, like they were like singing those songs. They're performing for you versus they're on the stage doing their thing, which is really like how a lot of their set felt. It just felt like they were on stage doing their thing and we were just watching in an interesting way. Like Jennie was like, you guys need to be louder, da, da, da. And I just was really impressed by the show and the way it all came together. Like you guys really had me thinking that it was going to be a mess, and it was like not a mess at all. The fits were so fun. I loved their costumes and their outfits. They're dressed so well and so unique to them. And I loved the solo shows. Like, I really loved, I was so impressed by Rosé. Like, Rosé's Hard to Love and On the Ground combo was something else. Like, she on stage in general was like a huge surprise to me. Like, she truly loves being there. She sounds amazing live. She's really great. Also, Lisa's was so good. Jennie's was good. Like, Jisoo, I really want an original song from Jisoo. I'm waiting and I'm ready. Apparently, Camila was at the show day one, so I'm sad for that. But their solo shows were really great. The concert really moved. One of my things I'm so happy about is that, like, they don't have, like, the in-between little things were just them looking hot. There was like no story to follow or anything like that. It was just like fun, them being hot. And like I said, my audience was really hype. Everybody was screaming and dancing and super into it. I don't know about other shows. And again, I am totally willing to accept that other shows were less hype. But my show was super hype. It was totally packed, totally sold out. And we were screaming and we were really getting into it. And like when we did Blackpink, like I literally was buzzing. I was like screaming because I had such a good time. Like the song that I go online to watch them perform, because like what's her name, Dodo or that person, they were at my show. I'm glad that they're a Blink and an ARMY. Love that. I really loved their performance of Pink Venom, of course. You know how I feel about Pink Venom. Also, the opener was How You Like That and Pretty Savage, and if you know me, those are like my two favorite Blackpink songs. And it just kept building and building and building. I just was like, just overwhelmed. Like I just couldn't like sit down, and I was screaming, and it was just like going. But yeah, the one I go back and watch all the time is the beginning. I watch the Type of Girl, and Shutdown was also good. The end was really good and cute. And, you know, I think the only thing I would say is that they definitely are not as like personable as some of the other artists. Like they're not up there like you know, you can tell that they're not as comfortable, like, talking to us as a collective and, like, the bantery parts of it. That's just, like, not their thing. So that's definitely true. But they were still cute and nice and seemed really gracious and excited to be there. And yeah, I just really loved it. I found, like I said, it was a perfect set. I can't say enough with good things about their band. I think they have one of the best bands ever. They really understand how to construct, how to make their songs feel even bigger with the live element band to it. And like I said, let's go through them each individually. I already talked about Rosé. Jisoo is so beautiful on stage. She's also bringing it. Like, she is great on stage. Her voice is really good. Again, she doesn't miss a note. She reminds me of Jen in that way. And she's incredible. She's beautiful. Like, I was like, Jisoo! Every time her face came up, because I just was like in shock. They're all so beautiful. Like, I was like, I get why people are mad. But say that they're just like models, which is like, whatever, whatever. But they are beautiful and great. I think, like I said, Lisa, people love Lisa. Is Lisa the most popular? Like, people were screaming for her so much. At one point, she does, like, she gets on a pole. She gets on the stripper pole at one point in the performance. And it's so funny. Everybody was just, like, quiet because everybody was just, like, shocked and watching her on the pole because it was so shocking and exciting. And she's just, of course, she's that bitch. Jenny is such a badass. Like, I was just so inspired by her energy, her give no shits, like, baddie, bad bitch energy is what I aspire to. Like, she is truly that girl. She's just that girl. Like, she just is. And I don't know what to tell you. She is that girl. And I just was like, at the end, I was like, how can I be more like Jenny? Like, how can I be like a bad bitch who doesn't give a shit about it's just like, get the bag and all that stuff. I don't know. I think she's great. So, and then of course I was talking about how Rosé is like a phenomenal performer, and I didn't know she was that good, but she is that good. And again, she sounds incredible live. And I think that her live, her like solo set might have been my favorite, just because I was so surprised and it was so good and it just had this energy. And yeah, I think that's like it for the concert. Like, again, the set was just perfect. I didn't notice any of those things. I didn't notice any mistakes. And if they did them, they were so little, I couldn't tell. And again, maybe that was just them building up momentum and, you know, feeling a little rusty after such a long time and working through it. I feel like I've heard of mistakes for lots of different shows. I know that there was mistakes in the first PTD show. Like, there's just mistakes. People make mistakes, but I didn't see anything noticeable. I know the things where people were like, the energy, I didn't pay this much for this. For me, I would have paid more. It was incredible. I loved it. Our audience was so hype. And I think the girls could tell that we were all excited to be there for them. And I just felt good being there for them in that space. And again, like, I don't know, YG might be, I don't know what's going on with them. All I know is that I love Blackpink, and I feel like that's, you know, all I have. That's really all I have for you. I don't know. Like, I keep trying to like figure out these ways to like unpack them or like say these things so that people don't think that I'm like being super biased or whatever, because I have all these critiques for all these other things. And like I said, I made my critique about YG and how I do think that they should be doing more to support what they could be doing, because the stuff that they're doing, they could be even doing even more. But at the end of the day, the way that they're positioned, it's such great strategy, because, you know, we don't know how other bands are going to do after, you know, the group is over. But because each of the girls have been given the freedom to build up their own profile and be their own international stars, I feel like they're better set up than anybody for post Blackpink life, which might be soon, because why would they want to continue with all this bullshit they have to go through? And so, I don't know, I feel like this might be the last tour for sure, which sucks because I love them. And I feel like this album was just a small piece of like what they're capable of. I think they're just starting to like come up against that edge that I know that they can like create amazing cool shit. And so if they disband now, it'll be a real shame, but I'm so grateful that I got to see them. And so, yeah, those are some of my thoughts about the Blackpink concert and everything else. And so it's like, the vibe around Blackpink. And if, I don't know, I'm trying to decide whether or not I will do, I might have a podcast for Substack only where I kind of go deep into like the comparisons between the different shows, because I feel like I have a lot to say about that. Might not, we'll see. I'm going to be on vacation next week with my family, but if you are in Substack, there will be a podcast and there will be a newsletter. If you're not on my Substack, I write a newsletter every Sunday, most of the time that is free for all. And then every single week, I release a podcast. So if you would like access to that, $7 a month on the Substack. There's also a chat where we chat sometimes and I post my thoughts. I'll be posting even more there because I've been trying to get off social media. So I'm not on Instagram as much as I used to be. So check that out. It's heysinead.substack.com. If you went to the show, let me know what you think and I will see you next time. Okay, bye. Burn the pain like